it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody deserves a champion, and that's exactly what the good folks at Leaders Credit Union will be for you. They really want to help you in your financial journey. Everybody's got different goals. Everybody's got different things they want to do. They're at different places in their life. And that's fine. Folks at Leaders can help you no matter where you are, what stop you are in your financial journey. These are people that are part of your community. It's a not-for-profit, member-owned financial institution. You can get your money anytime, anywhere with the mobile app, and they do it all, full service. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Check it out. They will waive your membership fee if you join today. I'm working with them right now on the HELOC. Super great people, transparent, and really helpful. And when you're trusting people with your money, that's what you want. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. It's Leaders Credit Union. I saw this story really quickly. We're going to get to part of the pod guy in just a little bit from the Daily Memphian, talking all things Memphis basketball. But I saw a story from Indiana Hoosiers. And they got a guy named Lamar Wilkerson, guard from Sam Houston State. And Lamar Wilkerson did something that I have to say I don't think I've ever heard of. He donated to Sam Houston's NIL fund. He transferred away from Sam Houston to Indiana, presumably got a big bag to do it, and then he decided he was going to give some of that money back to Sam Houston State.
That's what's up.
I believe Lamar Wilkerson, if I'm not mistaken, he's from Arkansas, so he's kind of from around the area here. But he averaged 20.5 points a game last year for Sam Houston State, so he probably got at least $2 million. And I heard the number was 100 that he gave back to Sam Houston.
Wow.
Which, for them, is probably like a good chunk of the budget, man. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
And, you know, people always talk about, and by the way, this dude shot 45% from three last year.
Wow.
$2 million might be on the shorter
he
end.
He got missed on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, 48% from the field, 45% from three, 82% from the free throw line. I mean, this sounds like a freaking All-American right here, bro. But, you know, he spent the last 3 years at Sam Houston State. And obviously, you know, he felt compelled enough and loyal enough to say, hey, listen, I'm not here at Indiana without my years at Sam Houston State. He could have done nothing. I mean, he held up his end of the bargain with Sam Houston State, bro. He played for him. He played well for them, and it was a transaction that was completed. But, you know, obviously, you know, we hear all the bad stories about NIL and all the sort of gone wrongs and guys don't get paid and guys don't do this. You know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, that people knew, hey, you might have missed this because it's Indiana, it's not in Memphis, but this is a dude that is, like, super loyal, and I think P.J. Haggerty needs to give $400,000 back to Memphis. I think we got to get some, because
what am I looking at?
Maybe that's the flesh, you know what I mean?
Didn't he really? I mean, yeah, he got paid when he got to Memphis.
No, you're right. He should have given some back to Tulsa.
Yeah, they need it.
They do. I
feel you.
Yeah,
we did get a raw deal on the PJ deal.
I wanted to make sure that we shined a light for sure on.
I think that's awesome, man. Because like I think you put it well. He's not there. He's not cashing in the way he has in Indiana. If not for the belief they had it. In him at Sam Houston State. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like you said, for them, that's going to move the needle. That's significant in terms of that level of investment in their NIL. So that's a really cool story.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it honestly just shows you a lot about the dude, you know, like the player. Because Sam Houston was, you know, I assume they probably thought at, you know, midway through the year, we're not keeping this kid. Like, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's just too good.
And he's doing what he's doing, yeah.
You know, so you probably reconcile that, you know, as the season is happening. But, you know, there's been this push. When I was at the Final Four, I don't remember who the coach was, so you'll have to forgive me. But he was at a smaller level. I was just with Goodman, and he came up, and he started talking, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he thinks he must have had a player that left and went to a bigger Power 5 school. He was like, I think these guys need to have in their contracts when they sign with us that if they leave for a bigger school, they have to pay us a buyout. That was his plan, right? He's like, this way the smaller school doesn't just get completely, you know, no Vaseline, right?
Right.
Like we develop you, we bring you in, and you turn into an awesome player, and then we lose you after a year, and we get nothing out of the deal.
That's,
you know,
unfortunate the way the system is now for them.
And that was his, even though, like, the problem is, like, that's unenforceable. Like, these are not enforceable contracts in terms of legal and, you know, because these are not employees. So it always goes back to like square one, you know.
Well, I mean, I just think there's always a way you can do it, and it's a lot of it's going to depend on how bad you want to be a basketball coach, because some of those jobs are going to be tough. But you can also spin it that you can be the next one, and you can come to me and play right away. You know, go to that school that's going to, you know, store you for a freshman and a sophomore year before you're ever playing, or come to my smaller program where I'm going to start you off top, and you'll have the chance, because it's the reality, to go to a bigger school from here. I mean, I just think that can be a recruiting pitch to you, particularly for those guys who aren't quite good enough to be up there, who, if they decide to go to the big school that is recruiting them but is looking at them as an out-of-rotation, a development guy, I think this is where you look at a you know, a situation like this. And if you are that coach at the lower-tier school, you play it the right way. You say, I'm playing you immediately.
Yep.
And that's your way. Now, again, it's going to come down to, because ultimately these guys are going to get snatched from you when they shine.
Yep.
In this case, I'll bet he was probably just hoping for a face-to-face meeting and a handshake from the kid.
Right.
And a thank you. You get $100,000 to your NIL. But most of the coaches, John, with the way the system is and as quickly as it's changed, you've gotten used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy is going off like that, you know, the idea that you're going to keep him for 2-3 years, no, that's out the window.
Yep.
Everybody's watching now. The big schools are pulling up from you. They're doing it every offseason. They're looking for your guys, so you have to get used to that.
No,
so,
there's no doubt.
Again, there's a way to capitalize on it if you're at the smaller level. You just tell kids you're going to play right away here.
Right, right. No, it's just like
like a JUCO.
Kind of, you're right. You got to kind of embrace it. You know, like
if you fight it, you're just going to come off. You know, like you said, like your coach that you mentioned from the Final Four.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't working, and you know, it's either get with it or get hit with it. This is the system now.
Right.
How badly do you want
to
be a coach?
What are your alternatives, right? I mean, you can't try to sit up here and pretend that you're going to be on a playing field with Indiana or even the levels below that.
There's those guys that I can get, hey, come play right away from me, but there's also, I'm looking up and I'm seeing those guys that couldn't cut it at that level too. Hey, come on down here.
Oh, for sure.
And frankly, with the way the transfer thing is now, come on down, build yourself back up, build your stock back up. I'm getting enough of those guys that I can have pretty successful seasons.
No doubt.
What I'm looking up too at who didn't make the cut up there, who didn't play at all.
Well, Memphis has kind of done that, right?
There's plenty of guys that you know, after making the, hey, recruiting, big schools, recruit, I've gone there, dude, I'm wasting away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of those guys that you can pull down and will be better at your level. I mean, Dane Danger.
Mm-hmm.
Comes down level, dominates in the American.
Yep.
It puts him on a course that, you know, he dominates in the tournament and everything else. But, no, I mean, he's just, a lot of guys are better suited for that smaller school. Not saying, certainly, that Memphis is the level of San Diego State. You get
right.
My point. Come down.
Yes. Yes.
So those coaches can recruit them, too.
So, anyway, Lamar Wilkerson. Remember that name. That's a guy that, you know, I'm definitely going to be rooting for this year, because he said, I did it out of love. I did it out of love for Coach Chris Mudge. For just Sam Houston, I had been there for 3 years, so it was home for me. I got comfortable there. I built a family with a lot of people, a lot of donors and everything, so I just gave back because I feel like I want to see their program thrive. I want to keep seeing them get better over time, so I was willing to help. So I just love that. You know, you don't see a lot of that in today's day and age, and you know, I don't know if it'll start a wave. I highly doubt it. But That is one way to utilize NIL. Is like, if you feel like there's somebody that helped you get to where you are, you know, because he and that coach clearly 3 years together, he probably does attribute a lot of it to his development and investment in him, and so that's I think it's a beautiful thing, man.
I read where Seth Trimble used his to open up an ice cream store.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
now we're cooking.
The possibilities, man. The difference now. what you can do while you're in college. But
it really is.
Imagine being a business owner while you're playing in North Carolina.
Yep.
You use some of that money to open yourself up a business, and everybody's coming to it because of who you are. And you
that is slagging
ice cream.
It is such a smart way, man, because like I don't know if Seth Trimble is a pro. I doubt it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to go to. The chances are likely that he's not. I mean, that's just for most college players, they're not NBA players. It's a small percentage in the grand scheme of things. So it's very smart.
Yep.
You know, to use this time while you're cashing in, not just for the big payday, have a little fun while you're in college.
Exactly.
But to actually become something in college with
no
the money and make yourself
no
a future with the money that you're getting.
So, yeah, because by the time you're, like, you can decide, right? Like, but you can have cash flow. You can, like, say, all right, I can go to play in Europe and I got my business, you know, and I can just have so much. It'll just become this, you know, machine. You know, I mean, that's how you should
smart
use an IL.
Use of the money.
Because the ball does stop bouncing one day. And it may be sooner than you're ready for. But, you know, yes, I think it's absolutely brilliant. All right, we'll come back. Part of the pod is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the latest with Memphis basketball and more. Stick around. Jason and John on Channel FM, ESPN. Parth Puff. Who am I? Parth Puff.
Y'all kept my theme music, man. I love it. I love it.
Parthy Pablo. Parthy Pajay covers the University of Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. Joins us every Friday here in studio. Very grateful to have him. And as usual, he comes with news. Memphis basketball has added a big man, not from another country. This is a new thing. And also who actually had Division I experience and contributed last year. Tark Ingram. Am I saying his name right?
I think it's Tariq Ingram, but
Tariq.
Yes,
okay, Tariq Ingram.
Yes.
Okay. Excuse me. I'm used to the Tariq Black days, you know what I mean?
No, that makes sense.
You remember the Tariq Black days?
I was not here for those days, but I do know of those.
Tariq Black,
days.
Absolute legend, who got married, I believe, at City Hall. I think we were talking to him like right before he got married.
At City Hall?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, 10 toes down.
To a friend of Taylor Swift.
That's right, that's right. Back before it was cool, man.
Hey.
Yeah. Exactly. Tariq Ingram has committed to Memphis, Rider graduate transfer. So what's his story?
Yeah, he's a guy that was a three-star prospect back in the 2019 class. So he's got 6 years of college under his belt. This will be, you know, year seven of college. So
yeah.
He was recruited to Wake Forest. The first year, which was 2019-20, he suffers an injury in the preseason, right? So he doesn't play at all. That season's gone. The next season, he has a heart condition, which only allows him to play two seasons. And then he's diagnosed with a season-ending heart condition, like I said. And then in the third year, he played in just one game before, from what his AAU coach, former AAU coach slash agent Skip Robinson told me, was a mutual parting of ways, right, with Wake Forest. So three seasons at Wake Forest, but only three total games played. Goes to Rider and is fairly consistent and reliable and all of that. You know, played in 95 total games through three seasons at Rider. Started in 81. You know, during that three-year span, averaged 8.9 points, 5.7 rebounds, and assist. And then last year, obviously, was his most productive year with, you know, 10.9 points and seven boards a game. Rider, obviously, they, you know, it's a school that plays in a weaker conference, I'd say, than the American, right? That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have much success during his time there. However, just the fact that this guy was recruited to an ACC school and was a three-star prospect, like he was on people's radars coming out of high school, I think that's a good sign. And the physical tools seem to be there at 6'9". And, you know, I think he was listed at 255, but Skip Robinson, his trainer, or not his trainer, his agent, excuse me, told me he's lost some weight this summer and kind of gotten in even better shape. So I think this is a great get at this point in the calendar.
Feels like, with what they had on the roster, he's different. You pointed at the physicality, like the size. That feels different than what was on the roster. And I even said, maybe not as impactful as Dane Danger, but sort of along those lines in terms of a physical presence, more so than what you have.
Absolutely, because they've got seven-footers.
Right.
And it's funny, at one point they didn't have any kind of height, and now they've got seven-footers galore, it seems like. But, you know, between Aaron Bradshaw at 7'1", Simon Majok at 7'1", Fierno Sila, 6'11", and Arope Arope at 6'11". They've got, you know, tall guys, but they're tall men, not big men.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Girth.
This guy is
like
a big fella. you know, 6'9", sturdy.
We call that thick around thick, here, Parth, don't we, don't we, John?
Yep. And he is a big body.
In a good way. In a good way.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like, you know, that however they want to do it. I mean, he could be their five. He could be their four. You know, if it allows Aaron Bradshaw to play his more natural position of the four man as opposed to him trying to guard a five. Like,
so you're penciling him as a starter. You're not saying he'll come off the bench?
I mean, I'm not penciling him in. I just think he'll be in the mix. I mean, I don't think Petty would bring him in if he didn't feel like he would be.
No, I think he'll compete for a starting spot for sure.
He's the only guy that has, like, I mean, I guess if you want to say, unless you're saying it's 100% Abdul Hakeem, which
I'd lean toward, and that's not from
he doesn't allow Aaron Bradshaw the option of playing his more natural position of the four.
For sure. For sure. That forces Bradshaw into a little bit of a unnatural role at the five.
And that's kind of where they stuck him last year at Ohio State, and he stunk.
Yeah, he wasn't very productive.
Now, that's Big Ten, you know, and I grant that there's a big difference between, you know, AAC and Big Ten, but I need him comfortable, period.
Yeah.
From out of the game.
To unlock this guy, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to, like, because how many times have we seen, dude, in Memphis's guys get played a position and it's just a wrap, you know? Like Joe Jackson. I know he went on to have a good career.
Yeah,
But he was out of position for his whole career, man. Like, you know, and it just, you know, it probably wasn't what it could have been.
I get that.
You know, and so I, you know, whatever, my goal would be whatever his most natural position is. If it's four, then, and this guy can let him play that, then it's a net positive. Even if he's not the best five on the team, you know.
For sure. So it'd be what? Yeah. Doug McDaniel, Sincere Parker.
Sincere.
Zach Davis.
What you mean, Sincere?
He's running through the starting five that we're protecting.
I don't know if we can pencil Sincere in. He's still fighting case.
Yeah, he is still fighting a court case, but
unless you know something.
No, this is. I've been to the same hearings that we've tweeted about and written about and all that stuff.
You got about 3 weeks before we, and then if they push that back again, then it's really trouble.
I think he'll be okay.
Are you weighing in on his guilt or innocence?
I'm weighing in on the process. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there a confidence inside that building from people that you talk to that he will be exonerated or whatever the case may be, whatever term you want to use?
From talking to Arthur Horn, well, obviously that's his client. What is he going to say? You know,
no, but, he did it.
Look, man, just even talking to him, and like you said, talking to people in that building, it seems like, you know, they're sticking by his side, and they believe that when this thing plays out, that he will be
right,
you know, cleared, or the case will be dropped, or something will happen to where he can play the season of college basketball.
That's fine. So we'll assume,
so we can assume for now, right?
Even though we shouldn't do that, but we'll assume.
Right. So Doug McDaniel, Sincere Parker, Zach Davis, Aaron Bradshaw at the four, and now Tariq Ingram
yeah,
at the five,
yeah,
with Curtis Givens the third.
Curtis Givens the third, Hassan Abdul Hakeem,
Quante Berry.
That's a pretty good nine.
That looks a little bit better. I mean, a lot of bit better, right? Than like what we were thinking.
And then who's your backup
big?
How's
that not better than what South Florida has?
Agreed.
With Torvik,
that is strange, isn't it?
Above.
Yeah,
and that's because
Torvik's been pretty
that's
spot
a really
on.
Solid roster. He has what last couple of years?
Last couple.
Memphis,
I mean, I think my
saying.
Entire, you know, I've been here for three seasons. I think he's been pretty spot on all three. You know, he told us that team was not good when
2 years ago.
2 years ago, when they were ranked 10th, and he told us that team
collapsed.
Was good when a lot of people didn't have that faith last season, right? And he turned out to hit the nail on the head both times.
Mm-hmm.
What were they, and I'm asking this off the top of my head, maybe y'all know roundabout, what were they on Torvik going into last season? You're saying he was a little higher than others?
I think I mentioned it.
And how does it compare to this year? You said they're 70?
They're 70th with Ingram.
Where did he
They moved to 70th, so that's two spots up.
He added Ingram.
Manually, okay, I got
No, I didn't take off Beer or Tuck, but I don't think that should matter.
You didn't take off anybody.
I don't think Vieira Tuck is worth anything.
But do you remember? Think it was in the 60s, Memphis last year? I'm just interested since Torvik's been so right.
I don't remember.
He was right last year. How does this compare?
I think they were in the 30s. Like Memphis was like 33
going
or 34.
Year,
I might
way
be
higher.
Completely off.
Wow.
And
no, I doubt that you are. That's what I wondered, if it was close or not.
I don't understand. Is that true? I mean, how could that be possible?
It's much higher on last year.
What do you mean? What's true?
How could it be possible they were in the 30s to start the year last year?
In Torvik?
Yeah.
Because that's not an AP poll. That's not a human. That's based on just the computer,
and
right?
He said,
the algorithm.
He said Torvik was higher on them than others.
I'm finding it right now.
Let's see. 11.
It'd be very instructive.
I'm going to find it before you, Parth. All right?
John's pretty quick, usually.
I'm already filtering it.
32 overall. I got it right here.
Give me a fist bump, man.
Yes,
you know your stuff.
I've got
32.
I've got 37. But I filtered it.
On September 16th, they were 32 overall. Maybe that changed, okay, but by the time November rolled around, November. I don't know.
I did
Bro,
November. You got it, Parth. He gets the
but
ding.
I wrote this
can
story.
Can we get Parth the ding? It's hurting John. We got to give him a ding when he gets it.
Well, can we say that he was extremely wrong about Memphis then? Because they finished 60th.
They got a 5 seed.
I know, but it's like he was 30 spots off.
If you're just looking at his algorithm, I guess he was wrong, right?
If he's 30 spots off again, we're in trouble.
Was it 60th they finished in Torvik last
year? Yeah.
That's it might have so been in the 60s. Crazy.
Again, the AAC schedule is going to drop you down.
Right.
It's out of your control.
Yeah, they finished 63 with a 5 seed.
Crazy.
63.
That's right. And Memphis was still properly rewarded because, again, it's everybody, what they had done in the non-conference.
It's all the damn sleepwalking against the American. Well,
their fault.
So here's the
truth.
They
were closer to that 30 than they were a 60-something.
Well,
that was the AAC schedule.
That's not great news then.
No, that's the point of me asking the question.
Because you want him to be, you know.
And to Hart's point, he's been right. He's been close. We're saying he's closer. They were closer to a 30 than they were a 60. In terms of the team,
but
then he's been relatively accurate on Memphis the last 2 years. That's why this 70-something.
All right, let me make the case that it doesn't have to be a depressing situation. Then last year, with the exception of Dane Danger, everybody you brought in had already kind of been coming off of big years, right? Like PJ Haggerty was coming off of a Freshman of the Year campaign.
Yeah.
You know, Tyrese Hunter was already coming off a big year.
Yep.
Like all that stuff was already kind of priced into their rating, right? I mean, it just kind of was. Whereas, how many guys has Memphis brought in? Curtis Givens, Bradshaw, Hassan Abdul-Hakim. These guys probably, I mean, we know Bradshaw's coming off a horrendous year. We know that Curtis Givens didn't
shoot the ball well.
Right. He, from a statistics standpoint, right? So, my point is, their individual ratings have a good chance to go up. Therefore, meaning that Memphis's team rating has a chance to go up.
Because all these guys are so far from their ceilings, right? Like you said, Aaron Bradshaw.
Yes.
Curtis, even Sincere Parker.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. No, I think he's, you know, because he's done it, you know, at a high level already, that's probably priced in. But I think coming into the year last year, you know, Kobe Rogers, right? Like these guys were at the ends of their careers.
A lot of data.
They had already kind of, their best days had already been played.
For sure.
Whereas with Tedford even, you know, like it feels like that was already priced in a year ago. This year there's more ramp.
Well, that's a good call.
You know, so like those guys could have big years under Penny and it could go from 70 to 40.
For sure. And that's a double-edged sword, right? Because it could go from 70 to 40, but you know, there's a lot of question marks across the board. You're asking a lot for all these guys to hit. We just named five unknowns off the top of our heads, you know?
But there's only Doug and Sincere, the only two in that I put in there.
Right.
Right? I'm thinking about the classification of guys that you just had. It's just Doug and Sincere.
Yes, exactly.
That have done something.
We already know who they are. We already know who they are. Yes.
Right. Now, again.
Does Barry count? What is he? Junior?
He's a junior, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think he counts. Yeah. Barry's a good player, too. Well, like, we don't talk about him enough, I don't think.
I agree.
He can do a lot of stuff.
End up being pretty impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I don't have, like, all the individual, you know, ratings for these guys, but you know, I just think there's a world where, you know, you get career years from Curtis Givens and Aaron Bradshaw and even a Zach Davis, right? Like,
no doubt.
He was a sort of rotate. He started, but he was like a third or fourth option there. Yeah. He could be
a defense
second
first
or third
guy
year. Yeah,
like, at South Carolina. And was one of their best defenders past three seasons, past two
like,
seasons.
Like I see what Penny is doing, right? Like, he's kind of gambling.
And sometimes you have to if you're, you know, strapped on resources. Or I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying if comparatively to, you know, the big boys, if you don't have that depth of money to play with, sometimes you got to take chances.
No, like he's kind of put together like a parlay where that if you show your friends, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, I kind of see what you're...
I see the vision.
Like it might hit. It might hit, you know what I mean? But it might not. Like I see the vision here because he's kind of just taking a chance on high upside guys that haven't quite realized it yet. And, you know, it may be a beautiful thing in 3 months. And it may also be very mediocre. You know, I mean, I think there's a chance that this is a 21 win team, and there's a chance that it could be a 26 win team.
And the issue is, you gotta, like you said, 3 months. And I know you just threw that number out there, but you're gonna want it to hit closer than that, right? Because you got Purdue, and
right
you got,
top.
And that's the problem.
Well, you're not gonna be Purdue.
If you're Memphis, because you know your chance to build a NCAA tournament resume is
the beginning of
is from November 8th through December 31st.
But okay,
and then it ends.
You're right, but I think we need to turn the notch down a little bit because 10-3 is not happening again.
I don't think so
it's
either.
It's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So, like, people need to be okay with, you know, if there's 13-7-6, 8-5, people need to be okay with that. And that's still on the right side of the bubble. Because you're going into the AAC where you really just shouldn't lose many games.
Yeah, but we've seen Memphis get docked for winning games in the AAC, right?
Yeah,
if it's looked uglier, if it's been a 5-point, 6-point win against a Rice or whoever.
If Memphis finishes 8-5 or even 7-6 against their non-conference schedule, they will be a tournament team heading into American, period. I mean, they'll have the job.
Yes, but...
And that's all you're trying to get out of this. I mean, you can't. It's not going to be anything more than that.
I guess what I'm trying to say is 10-3 last year, you know, people were talking about, oh, this is a sleeper Sweet 16 Elite 8 team. This is going to be a top 4, top 3 seed. And then, thankfully, they had that buffer to where even if they took some hits, which hits aren't all losses in the American. We know that
a
hit can be not winning by enough. It can be playing poorly, whatever.
See, you're talking about in terms of seeding, right? You're talking about in terms of like body of work. Bro, this is not a seeding year. I
think
maybe if you keep a couple of these guys and you bring them in the next season, we can have that discussion.
Yeah.
This is simply surviving.
Get in the dance.
Every year is not going to be special, bro. You know, I mean, you know, it just can't be in this day and age.
It's tough.
But what you're trying to do is you're just trying to establish a consistent floor at Memphis every year.
Which is making the tournament.
Yeah. That's what it needs to be. And there will be some years, right, where we get to come in here and we get to say, yeah, man, to be a top 4 seed, you're going to have to do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to be a very reasonable conversation.
Yeah.
There are also going to be years where it's a complete Rorschach test, and you're looking at a roster, and you're like, I don't know about this one. We'll have to see. Just make the tournament. That's where we're at.
Where do you think they'll be? Like, I know it's way too early, but just looking at it on paper, right? Like, where do you think this roster ends up being seeded come selection Sunday? You think they'll make it, right?
I do think they make it because I think they win the league, but I think it's going to be a 9-10 seed type of year.
I think 9-10 or 11.
People ask
me that question. That's my
I'm being optimistic at 9. I think it's probably a double-digit seed type of year, maybe even a play-in year. I mean, it could be one of those.
We'll be in Dayton.
You still make the tournament. I mean, that's the goal. Establish that floor. Pitty's very close because he's done it, what, 3 of the last 4? And it should be 4 in a row, if not for, you know. I still haven't found how many teams were AP top 10 in January and didn't make the tournament.
I think none. I think it was the most devastating collapse in the history of college basketball.
I mean, I've been looking for that. I don't have the time to go back and look at, like, that's going to take forever, but I have not been able to find that easily.
I think what you're saying, we'd have to go back year by, you know, whatever.
Year by year, and I'm sure it's happened before, you know.
I don't think 10th.
There's a lot of time. I think it's happened before.
I'd be shocked.
You're being led by a man who was about to retire.
Who is
Javon Quinterly? That's the UL.
That's right.
Look, y'all are trying to explain the collapse.
The guy
about to get out of the game. He didn't care.
He had one foot out the door.
I'm taking my payday and I'm done. We really did
put everything on Javon, didn't we?
Don't care.
He announced his retirement at halftime of.
Get out of here. I know what game you're saying to. That's bad when I know exactly what game he's referencing without him mentioning the game.
Penny kind of lost him when he benched him for Pierre that game. Remember against Rice?
That was crazy.
He benched him against Rice, and I think that was kind of the end.
Remember, he was not the initial want. It was the other point guard from Bama. It was who they went after.
Who went to Arizona. Jaden Bradley, right?
Yeah, Jaden Bradley. Yes. He's still there?
Javon was a backup line.
I think he's still there.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, you're right. Javon was
that's
a late
the one
addition.
They wanted.
And the, you know, he had such a terrible reputation at Alabama, and then Oates had the things about him, you know, not practicing or whatever.
But he was second option.
He was good at Bama. Like he didn't he win SEC tournament MOP?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
One
yes.
year. Yeah. Like.
But the whole thing was like he was inconsistent, and he, you know,
not a leader.
Exactly. So all right. So Memphis is done. Right. What's next?
They got to find a way to make these numbers work. Roster numbers. Right. That's what's next. They got 15 already. Now you're adding Tariq Ingram. Obviously, the program has not announced his signing yet, but before they do that, they'd have to figure out how to make room for Ingram.
Yeah.
And I think that's obviously what's next. There's still a assistant coaching vacancy that has not been announced. You know, so those two things are kind of what come to mind as far as questions still left this offseason. But we're getting there. You know, we're getting to a point where it's about to be time to put a bow on this thing and start talking preseason stuff.
Yeah.
Would you have voted Vera Tuck with us, or would you have been with John on Mason Matthews in terms of?
So, who are you guys limiting the options, or
no? Please, by all means, just in terms of who might be looking at not being on the roster to get Ingram on.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What's your best guess?
I think if they can work something out with Vera Tuck, who we know still is not eligible,
academically
right? Ineligible. Exactly. If they can work something out to where they, you know, quote unquote, release him now. add Ingram and then say, hey, next year, come on back. If that's even possible. I'm not sure how these things work exactly, but that would make the most sense just because everybody else is eligible to play.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. He is part of the podcast.
Thank you, bro.
Follow his work at dailymemphian.com. Join us every Friday here on the show. Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, y'all.
We'll come back, wrap this up on a Friday. Jason and John, I'm trying to pay him. Yes.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start your week in the right way by heading over to Sonic, where you can buy one double Sonic Smasher and get one free. They're delicious. Grab a friend, treat yourself to that buy one, get one double Sonic Smasher offer. And make sure you always download the app, because that's where you're going to get the best deals, the best and the newest, greatest items on the Sonic menu. Sonic, it's America's drive-in.
A lot of places in Memphis, you can go get yourself one of them fancy coffees, one of them high-dollar coffees. Well, Sonic's got you one of those fancy coffees, but it's not high-dollar. $2.99 salted caramel toffee iced coffee with cold foam, salted caramel drizzle, and crunchy toffee pieces. It's good, and it's just $2.99. John mentioned, download that app and get yourself that free Sonic Smasher with the purchase of one. Now you're really eating. You deserve a burger with two hand-smashed Angus beef patties served hot off the grill. You can only get it at Sonic. Again, download the app. Get over there for a happy hour. Live free. Eat Sonic.
I got to say, I didn't realize this is where we were, but Colorado, which plays tonight, made a quarterback change.
Yeah, they're going to Martin Luther Staub.
Martin Luther Staub, man.
Because he had a dream.
He had a dream.
Deion called him Martin Luther Staub because he had
good.
A dream.
Pretty good stuff, I got to say.
He was good against Delaware, bro.
But
we going to see.
Was Salter that bad against Georgia Tech? I didn't think he was that bad. But my goodness. I mean, that was a quick hook. To me.
Yep. Already down to the guy you had third going into the season. So.
I guess Juju Lewis ain't quite ready yet, freshman. Martin Luther Staub tonight on the road at Houston. Should be an interesting game. I'm always tuned into Colorado now. Come on now.
Still a thing.
Prime time.
It's just tough post-Shadour.
Yes, it is. The adjustment period. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Part of the Pod. Yeah, thanks to Anthony Sain, Jeffrey and company up next. Have a great weekend. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.